Total Tuscany Podcast, number 42. Ciao, and welcome to another edition of the Total Tuscany Podcast. Thanks for finding us at TotalTuscany.com. You can also reach out to us on our social media channels. We are on Facebook. Just search Total Tuscany. On Twitter, at Total Tuscany. And on Instagram as well. It's good to have you along for another podcast as we talk all things Tuscany. I'm Travis Justice, joined by the good friend of mine, travel partner, co-publisher of TotalTuscany.com, Mr. Pat Capagna. Hello, Pat.
Travis, how are you?
You know, where we are, it's extremely cold, but yeah. I'm always thinking about Tuscany, and it's funny because I follow our friend Anna Maria Mondolfari on Facebook, and she's doing winter wine tours right now, and so it's fun to kind of live vicariously through the friends we have made in Tuscany in dreams of getting back again.
That's true. You know, every winter here, it just reminds me of how much I'm feeling very Tuscan today. Want to be in Tuscany.
You know, it's interesting because we've been doing a little bit of consulting, and we always get great ideas. We'd like to think that we know a lot about Tuscany, but every time you visit Tuscany, you learn something new. Every time you talk to somebody who's been to Tuscany, you learn something new. Every time you talk to somebody who's talking about going, they've done a little bit of maybe research that you're like, oh, I didn't know that. Thanks for the tip. And it's interesting because I was helping a lady out who's going with one of her best friends to Tuscany this fall. And she said, hey, I've got a podcast idea. She's listened to every podcast we've ever done. That's a lot of listening.
That's a lot of radio.
That's like 41 hours of listening. Think about that. Or maybe cut that in half. That's a lot of listening to you and me.
We need to send her a Total Tuscany t-shirt.
We need to get a t-shirt or a coffee mug or something. But I got a note from her, said, hey, thanks for all your help. Hey, I've got a podcast idea for you. Have you ever talked to the people from Tuscan Women Cook? And I'm like, what is Tuscan Women Cook? And I did a little investigation going, wow, this is a really cool event. It's been featured on the NBC Today show. It's been seen on the Food Network. You've heard about them on NPR. It's recommended by Travel and Leisure. It's also recommended by American Airlines. So Tuscan Women Cook is a great story of, well, an American going to Tuscany and starting a wonderful experience for tourists.
Imagine that. Exactly what we're dreaming of doing, right?
Yeah, Bill Southern and his wife Patty run Tuscan Women Cook. It's an experience that is a week-long cooking class. Now, don't let that intimidate you. You are there for a week. You're learning to cook for a week, but there's so many different experiences that you can have. And Bill joins us today on the Total Tuscany Podcast. Bill, I got to ask you, even before we start talking about Tuscan Women Cook, when did you fall in love with Tuscany?
I fell in love with Tuscany in 1967. I was one of the first kids, the college kids, the backpack group that went to Italy or Europe. They wrote a book. In fact, I've got it with me right here, Europe on $5 a Day. And I got the opportunity to go, sold my car, and went to Europe and spent the summer. And kind of put it, my high school sweetheart and I were very much in love when we were young, and we're kind of pushed in different directions. We got back together about 30 years ago, and she asked me if I had ever had any wishes or desires I hadn't fulfilled. And I told her, yes, I've always wanted to live in Europe, either in France or in Italy or a big city or the country. And we traveled and traveled and traveled and wound up in Tuscany in a little tiny village. And that's how we got there.
So you end up there. You've got a real estate company that you've been running. At what point did you just say, you know what, I'm going to give that up and I'm going to go start a cooking school?
Well, we had a secondary home. We bought Tuscany as a secondary home. We had a home in Texas, and we had a pretty nice-sized real estate company. I think we had about 150 people. But it was that, which I make my best decisions over a couple of bottles of wine. And that's, we were sitting in Italy and had the wine and made the decision. And we went back to Texas. We sold our house, the business, 90% of personal possessions, gave away the children, and we just moved. We had no idea in the world what we were going to do when we got to Italy. We bought a farm. It's a farm, so we have our own olive oil and grapes for wine and everything like that. And it was after we were there a while We looked at each other one day and said, what are we going to do for a living? We decided to open a cooking school. I've always been very interested in food and cooking classes and things of that nature.
It's so interesting, Bill, because we've done so many of these podcasts now, and you're about the 200th person told us that they just packed up everything, sold it all, and moved. It's amazing.
I understand it very easy. It's just, I'm good for something for so many years, and then I want to go do something else.
Yeah. Had you been cooking before? Is this something that you had been passionate about?
I fell in love with cooking probably I was in my early 20s, and wound up taking cooking classes. I took cooking classes with Julia Child and Jacques Pepin and all these people like that, Wolfgang Puck, and a bunch of the old timers. You know, they're not the new modern people anymore. And just love cooking. I had the chance to open some restaurants, and I didn't do it. I'm really glad I didn't do it. But I had a very big interest in food. And so this seemed like a natural thing. And living there part-time, we had a lot of invitations from the local people to come to their homes. Now, restaurants in our area, or in all of Tuscany and the areas, they're very good. But when you went to someone's home, it was just such a step up. And I started talking to all the little old ladies of the village and asked them if they would be interested in doing cooking classes for me. And they said, yes. So we had one class with my sister and a bunch of her friends to test and see if anyone liked it. And they did. And we just grew it and grew it and grew it. It became very large at one time. And it's been fun.
So you have different women from the area come in and host the cooking school, which I think makes it extremely unique. Right now, like, how many different cooks or teachers do you have that come in and hold classes?
Well, we do classes every day, and we have 2 to 3 cooks in each class, and they're all different, and they can vary a little bit from week to week. We try to stay with the same ones. They range in all sorts of ages, from in their 80s. We have one young girl that there was 4 generations of people. We would go to their home and cook. 4 generations of women. And great-grandmother died, and Gloria was 11 and cooked for us, and now she's 27 and cooks for us. But all ages, yeah. And we probably have 15, 16 women that we have a choice over.
Is it accurate that you take your guests out into the markets to find the produce and the meats that they'll be cooking with these ladies?
We do go to some of the markets. We had a lady come one day, and she said, before I sign up, I want to know that you go to the market every day and choose your food for the class. And I said, well, why is it that important to you? She said, I want it to be fresh. And I explained to her that fresh food, I mean, that what we bought in the market was not really fresh, that it was picked the day before. And when we do our classes, we pick all our food, the vegetables and things, the products, the day of the class. So if we have a class starting at 9 o'clock, a lot of it's being picked at 8:30 in the morning. And all the ladies, we used everyone's gardens, and what they didn't have, you know, we would choose from my garden. And so we really use fresh food, but not necessarily from a market. But we do go to markets when we're there to look at other things that don't require today's ingredients.
Where do most of your students come from? Do they come from the United States? Do they come from Australia? Are you seeing a lot more from Russia? Where's the greatest influence of tourism where you're seeing people coming from?
Our greatest influence is the United States, followed by Canada, and then all English-speaking countries. We have Australia, New Zealand, we have South Africa. Most all the Pacific Rim countries have come, Hong Kong, Japan, Philippines, Indonesia. We've had several Europeans. I think I mentioned South America. We're getting a lot of people from South America recently. No Russians that we've ever had attend with us. But everyone has English as a primary or secondary language, generally, come to the classes. We've had a couple of people who didn't need speaking English at all, and any English at all. We had a great time with them, but it was a little difficult.
Bill, our listeners, I'm sure somebody tuning in might want to ask you, is this for a single person, couples, and maybe even a family? What's the typical demographic of the person learning to cook?
Typical is not a word I work very well with in my life. Just it doesn't work for me. We have a lot of couples that come. We have a great deal, a large number of singles that come. Mostly women singles, but we do have men singles that come. We have families that come. Last spring, we had a couple that come before, and they came back. We have many people that repeat. I don't know whether they didn't pass the class the first time or they just had fun. But these people came back, and they brought both their sons. They brought their mother, and they brought some other friends with them and spouses. And, you know, we just have all sorts of family combinations come. A lot of people are celebrating anniversaries or birthdays and things like this. We are on a large, the experience we give comes a lot of portion, a lot of people, it's on their bucket list, they call it.
Mm-hmm. Do you find that people, when they're in the kitchen and they're learning to cook and sharing a meal with each other, strangers, that they develop a little bit better, deeper relationship quicker in your school?
Oh, I think so. Our people get, every week, the class comes together. And we have no idea where the class is going to come from. But every week, the class comes together as a group. And it's just something, we play a game ourselves to see how quickly we can get these classes to meld together, each week's class to meld together. Some, they come on Sunday night, come on Sunday and they depart on Saturday. Some, by Sunday evening, they're already a group. Others take Monday, Tuesday. Every once in a while, it takes Wednesday. But they stay in touch. They have reunions, all sorts of things.
It really becomes family, doesn't it? I mean, isn't that the kind of the Italian setting? Is everybody kind of just comes together and you're one big family?
Well, one of the things we want to do is teach them the Italian life, the Tuscan lifestyle. All the areas of Italy are different, but we try to teach them the Tuscan lifestyle, and it is family. It is that. We tell them the first night that our thing is, by the end of the week, you're going to be walking the town, and whether you speak Italian or not, you're going to be speaking to people you've met, cooks you've met, the grandkids of the cooks. We're going to, the lady at the coffee shop is going to be making coffee every morning, and she's already going to know what coffee you like. And it's a family thing. We want them to understand the Tuscan way of life.
Of course, the 2016 dates are now available. You can get them at TuscanWomenCook.com. You run basically mid-May through mid-October. Talk about the accommodations that people get to stay in and where they're staying and just kind of the atmosphere they'll experience as they're on your campus or on site.
There is a hotel. I do not own a hotel, but some good friends do, Italian friends. It was used to be what we called a frantoio, which is an olive oil press. They made it in 1975. They made it into a hotel. It's absolutely stunningly beautiful. The dining room could be the most beautiful dining room I ever walked in. And as is most Italian Tuscan hotels, every room's totally different. It's not like going to the Holiday Inn. Some have more than one floor to them. Most of the rooms in this hotel, Danya is one of the owners, and she, the heart and love is part of her life. And so there's hot tubs, not hot tubs, but
soaking tubs
in every room, some which could probably hold half the soccer teams or something like that. But they're very beautiful. They're very romantic. They sit on a little piece of property that overlooks Montepulciano in the distance, which is a beautiful old walled city. They're very nice rooms. They truly are. When my wife and I, Patty, were traveling to Italy, trying to find a place that we might like to settle down, it was this hotel that we kept coming back to this one town because of the service and the food and the people who ran the hotel. And it's one of the big reasons we wound up in this small village that we're in.
Could you paint a picture of this village for the listeners?
It's already in your imagination. You've seen this picture 1,000 times in the back of your mind. It sits
on the top of a hill and with a 360-degree view of looking to the east and northeast, you can see for 45 miles across the valley. It's a sheer cliff down that side. It was built, the main church, they started keeping records of history in 1200, but the main church was already there. So we're estimating it to be about 1,000 years old. It's a walled city going with walls all the way around it where the marauding tribes would try to get in. There's gates that you have to go through. Most of the gates themselves are down, but you have to go through the big archway to get into town. We're a tiny little town. We're 600, but we don't know where the 600 people are. Where they are. We've got some friends with us right now in Texas, and they're Italians, and there's three boys, and they are between 17 and 20 years old, and they were telling me last night there's 14 kids in town between 14 and 21, and everyone knows who each other is. It's a small population, but it's absolutely breathtakingly beautiful. Everyone knows each other. It's just what you dream about when you dream about this Tuscan village sitting on the top of a mountain.
The cooking class at Tuscan Women Cook is a week-long class. Now, somebody's wondering, am I cooking all day, or do I have an opportunity to go visit Siena? Do I have a chance to go to Florence? Do I have a chance to go to Pienza? Are there opportunities outside the cooking class as they're there with you?
Yes, yes, and yes. We do cooking class. It's not all about cooking. When we set this up, I kind of call cooking the hook that gets people to come because they want to come to a cooking school. But once they get there, you don't want to stand in front of a burner all day long and do this sort of stuff. You know, that's not the Tuscan lifestyle. So we do cooking classes in the mornings and in the evenings, and I am the cook in the family. My wife takes groups out every afternoon. We have a driver and a beautiful little Mercedes bus that he owns, and he takes everyone out in the afternoon with my wife, Patty. And they visit different villages as beautiful as ours, and they do shopping, they do sightseeing, they visit several wineries. We make some great cheese in our neighborhood, and they go to a shop that makes cheese, and they do all sorts of things like that. And it's great food we have during the week, but we have incredible wine. Where we sit as wine, Chianti touches us on the north, and on the east is what we call the Vino Nobile of Montepulciano, and on the west of us is Montalcino, which probably has the most expensive wine in Italy, is the Brunellos. And we sit right in the middle of it all. And during the week, we drink from the top end Brunellos. But the wines most people love is the farmer's wines. They've never seen a bottle with a cork in it in their lives. They're just poured. The bottles are filled up from the cask every day. So there's a little bit of everything. We go to Siena one day. We have an incredible guide in Siena, Christina, and she helps us through Siena. And so someone wants to shop, someone wants to sightsee. And of course, everything that people do with us, they arrive on Sunday and they leave on Saturday. Every single thing during the week, they can leave their wallet at home because we cover every single expense they have during that period of time. And it's very nice.
Bill, could you take a minute and kind of relate to the listeners maybe one of the more memorable experiences your guests have had, whether that's in the kitchen or out in the town or the communities nearby, something that just sticks in your mind?
Oh, my gosh. Not in a minute. If you've got about 3 days, we can talk about it all, but I can't do it in a minute. It's just everyone's similar, but everyone's different that come. We have great meals. Patty and I have done this for long enough. We know how to schedule time and work with people and bring them all together. Oh, gosh. We were there one night. The last meal, we were sitting there one night, and there was a man from New Orleans and his wife. And he got up, we did toast and everything because it was our last evening together. And he stood up and said, I hope you don't mind, but I want to make a toast to my wife of 50 years. And he stood up and made a toast, and then he started to sing a song. And he sang, it's like a Rat Pack song, you know, Dean Martin or Frank Sinatra. and he sings the first verses in English, and then he sings the second verses in Italian.
Wow.
And she had no idea he could do this in Italian. She just was in tears. And then later in the evening, the chef, who was a woman of that restaurant, came out and said, "I hear you can sing." And he said, I see that I will be happy to sing to you. And stood up and did it again with a different song. I mean, you know, I was in tears. So just didn't know how to handle this sort of stuff. But this, it's the friendships that are made. It's the people. The food's great, the sites are great and everything else. But it's the guests that we have is what's so wonderful. Our last bad guest was in 2005, and we haven't had a bad one since then.
Now, when you say bad guest, what's a bad guest?
Oh, you don't want to know.
I kind of do, but it'd probably take another 3 days as well.
We go off there, and we can spend a number of hours talking about the local gossip of the neighborhood and things like that. You know, but we have wonderful people that really. They're all there for the same interest, food and wine and having a good time.
You mentioned you've been doing this a long time, and you're right, you have. Maybe even, you know, you wanted to go since 1967. You've probably seen a lot of things pre-Tuscan boom and post-Tuscan tourism boom. How has Tuscany changed in your time since starting this cooking school for the good and for the bad?
Oh, I don't think Tuscany's really changed. Our little village. To speak of, it's the same little place. Our butcher closed, and he and his wife retired, and my barber Giorgio, he retired, and those are the two biggest changes I think I've seen in all these years since we've been there. And the butcher's son luckily opened the place, so we've covered that. But I lost my barber. That would say the big thing is it's gone on in the village. It's old world. There's stuff that doesn't happen. The people there, they don't have big screen TVs. They don't have fancy cars. They don't need all this thing. You know, in the afternoons, you're outside taking a walk, and everyone knows. They all know what is going on throughout town. But the progress is not something that is readily notable. It's just not.
It's amazing how that lifestyle, that older world lifestyle, just resonates and appeals to us as Americans when we visit. The hook, as you said.
It appeals to me very much.
Yeah, and I think it appeals to a lot of people. You're in Texas right now, so I got to ask you, do you feel at home when you're in Texas, or do you feel like you're on vacation and you can't wait to get back home to Tuscany?
Yes. That's both questions. I'm a Texan at heart, and I love Tuscany. Y'all are not going to understand this being from Iowa, but Texas is by far the best state in the Union. We all know that. And Tuscany is the people from Tuscany feel the same way in Italy. So we have no trouble communicating with each other. We know we're very special, and we live in very special places. We have no trouble with ego in Texas or in Tuscany.
TuscanWomenCook.com is the website. The classes are now being booked for 2016. Bill, fascinating story. Great stuff. We appreciate your time. And here's to a big toast to a successful 2016 for you and your cooking school.
We certainly appreciate your toast and your wishes for good luck, and the same to you.
How cool was that?
It was very cool. The first time, yeah, I liked how he said, you know, he was like the beginning of that backpack generation in 1967, but he was hooked the first time he went, much like you and I were hooked and our families were hooked the first time we went in 2009.
Yeah, it's just, that hook is just so, it's just so interesting, I think, that when you go someplace that doesn't have all the bells and whistles, and it just slows you down and sucks you in.
The scenery never changes, and either does the lifestyle. And it was good to hear him say, because he's been there a long time, and they've been growing this cooking school for a long time, to say that, you know, nothing really does change. And if you don't believe us that people in Tuscany don't need the big car, they don't need the big flat screen TV, just you're going to have to go and experience, because it will change your life. It will change the way you look at life.
Yeah, I was going to say, and I didn't get a chance to ask Bill, but I'll bet you walk away knowing how to make a great pasta, and you learn some fantastic recipes. But I'll bet what sticks with you longer is the friendships that you make in this type of a place.
Our most popular podcasts always center around cooking because people love to cook. They love Italian food, and they love food from Tuscany, whether it's the pasta, whether it's the meats, whether it's the olive oil. It really makes a memorable experience. And when you go to Tuscany, we highly recommend that you find a cooking class. And you just heard from Bill and Tuscan Women Cook. And you can get more information at TuscanWomenCook.com. Of course, you can also follow us on a daily basis at TotalTuscany.com. And as I mentioned in the open, we are pretty active on the social media channels. Like us on Facebook. We just went over 1,000 likes. Now, that may not seem a lot to you, but to us, it was all organic. We've never really spent money on advertising or anything like that. People have just naturally found Total Tuscany. We're now over 1,000 likes on Facebook. Help keep us growing. Same with Twitter, at Total Tuscany on Twitter. And we also have an Instagram account as well. Just search Total Tuscany. For Pat Capani, I'm Travis Justice. Thanks for listening to our Tuscan stories. Hope you enjoyed us. Tell a friend about us and keep listening for more as we continue to talk all about Tuscany. This has been the Total Tuscany Podcast. Remember to live each and every day like you're in Tuscany. No better way to do it.